Today's shir is Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Ches. We are beginning Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Huna, Havlehu Abba Aguda Nahara. He had these trees that he owned on the bank of the river. Amalei Neketzmar. You should cut those trees down because they're in the way of people that have to walk, the people who have to work with the boats. Amalei, so Rav Huna, Rabbi said, Kutza Eloi V'tatoi, if the people above me and below me will cut their trees also, then I'll cut mine. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Avr Hachi, what kind of response is this? V'ksiv, Hiskoishu V'koishu. The Pasuk says, Hiskoishu V'koishu, V'amr Ish Lakish. The way to understand this Pasuk is, K'shait Atzmcha, you can't tell other people to do something before you do it yourself. So how could he tell them? Why doesn't he take care of himself first? And the Farshim explain, how do we understand this from the words of Hiskoishu V'koishu? So I saw a number of pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat is, Hiskoishu means hekesh. We have to be like God. If we act properly, then people will listen to us. Another pshat that I saw, Iskaishu means kash. It means straw. We have to take away our own wrong things, and then we can tell other people what to do. Or Iskaishu means that we have to examine ourselves. First we have to examine ourselves, and then we could speak to others. In fact, the Mefarshim say, this is pshat when the Pasuk says, will be arta ha-ro mikerbecha, v'chal Yisrael yishmu v'ro. Will be arta ha-ro mikerbecha, a person takes out the beard from in himself, then v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'ro, he will be able to influence others. The pasuk says, "Ki sifsei koyin yishmu das v'toyro yivakshu mepihu." Ki sifsei koyin, if the koyin is careful that yishmu das, that he speaks properly, that he acts properly, and he is such an individual that toyro yivakshu mepihu, that he could teach other people Torah because he's acting properly, because he's acting properly himself. Mefarshim go on to say, I saw from Rabbi Yeruchim, the Mir Mishgiach, it's not to understand this Gemara, that this is something that's a worthwhile thing to do, that a person should work on himself before he gives musa to others. Rabbi Yeruchim explains, this is a fact. It's impossible for a person to be able to influence others if he hasn't taken care of himself first. I saw from the Baal Shem takes this a step further. The Baal Shem explains that if a person sees that other people are doing wrong, it must be that that problem exists within him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cause that I should see somebody else doing an Aveira if I myself don't have this issue. And therefore, if Min HaShemayim, I see that you're doing Aveira, and I want to give you Musa for doing the Aveira, the fact is that I have to first correct myself. Says the Gemara. Hasa, says the Gemara, the reason Rabbi Rav Huna did not take care of cutting his own trees first, because the Beit Pasuk Refila Hava, these were trees that were owned by this individual, and who certainly wasn't going to cut down his trees. Vomar, and therefore Rabbi Rav Huna's attitude was, Ikaitza Ketsinan, if they're going to cut, then there's a point in my cutting my trees. V'loi Kaitzi, but if they're not going to cut their trees, am I Eikutz, what's the point in me cutting my trees? The Mintachi Lua Shlayu Mistagalhu, because since their trees will not be cut, then they, if the trees are cut, then they could go with their packages. V'loi, but if they're not cut, even if I cut my trees, loy master galuhu, it won't accomplish anything. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Rav Nachman of Ka'oz Ba'arba. So Rabbi Rav Chana was traveling on a boat. Hazu ha'u abba de koya gud in Nahara. And he saw these trees on the bank of the river, uncut. Amalu the man. So he asked, who owns these trees? Amalei, the Rabbi Rav Huna. They told him, Rabbi Rav Huna owns these trees that he didn't cut. Amr, so he quoted the Pasuk in Ezra, Here we have the greatest people acting improperly. Rabbi Rav Huna is not cutting down the trees. And therefore he gave an order, Amlu Kaitsa Kaitsa. The trees should be cut down. Asa Rabbi Rav Huna. So Rabbi Rav Huna now comes. Ashkeche the Kaitz. He sees that his trees have been cut down. Amar Man Katye. The person who cut down these trees, Tokutz Avfeho. His trees should be cut down. So the way the Mefarshim learned the Gemara is that certainly Rabbi Rav Huna never intended to curse him, never intended to curse Rabbi Rav Nachman that Chas V'Shalom something to happen to his children. He meant, you cut down my trees improperly, your trees should be cut down. However, we know, Kilos Chochem, Afil Al Tanahi Bo. When a tzaddik says something, even if that wasn't his real intention, it happens. And therefore, says the Gemara, Kula Shana de Rav, Rabbi Rav Huna, all the years the Rabbi Rav Huna was alive, like time Lezal Rabbi Rav Nachman, all of Rabbi Rav Nachman's children passed away. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Yehuda, Hagel Le'igli Gapa, everybody has to contribute to giving for the gates of the city, Vafili Miyasmi, even Yesoimim, Avol Rabbonim, Tamid Chachamim Loi. They don't have to contribute. My Tama, why don't Rabbanon have to contribute? Rabbanon Loi Tzrichin Etirasai. Rabbanon don't need Shmira. The Torah is their Shmira, and therefore they don't have to contribute. So the Rishonim say the following. Certainly, someone who's Tarasai Umnasai, somebody who learns on a full-time basis, all he does is learn, he is in the category of Rabbanon, that they don't have to contribute. Although the Ramah says that we really don't have anybody nowadays who fits that category of Torasa Imnasai. The Machlokes Rishonim is, let's say we have an individual who does work, but he only works the very minimal amount that he needs to work in order to earn a Parnasa, not to live an extravagant lifestyle, and the rest of the time he spends learning. Is he considered Tarasa Yumnasai? According to the Rosh, he too is in the category of the Rabbanan. Others, however, say that he's not in the category, if he's not Tarasa Yumnasai, that all he does is learn, he's not in that category. However, certainly the Rishonim say that to be considered Tarasa Yumnasai, you don't have to have a position as a Rav, just sitting and learning is enough. If that's all you do, certainly you're in the category of Tarasa Imnasai. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that it is appropriate that even though Al Gemara says that somebody who's Tarasa Imnasai is excluded, that he shouldn't look for those exemptions, and he should be part of the Tzibur, and he should contribute. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that if the person who is this Talmud Chacham happens to be independently wealthy, that isn't a reason why he has to contribute. If Al Gemara is saying that a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to contribute, it doesn't make a difference if he is or isn't independently wealthy. The Paiskim also go on to say that somebody who's Oisik B'Tzarchi Tzibur, somebody who works for the community, again on a full-time basis, has this Ptur, has this exemption also. And many Paiskim want to suggest that a Chazan and a Malamed Tanoikis, a Rebbe and a Yeshiva, are also included in this exemption. Although, I did see from the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish says that let's say you'll have a city, that the entire city is a city of people who are Rabbanan, a city of Talmid Chachamim. Nobody is working. Everybody's in this category. There they're going to have to contribute. He explains as follows. Al Gemara's exemption of a Talmud Chacham, he explains in the following manner. He says, a city, of course, needs a gate to protect it. But just like the gate protects the city, Talmid Chachamim serve as a protection to the city. And therefore, if you have the Talmid Chachamim, you don't have to have, they do their share, and the gate does its share. But if the entire city is just Talmid Chachamim, Talmid Chachamim alone are not enough of protection. You certainly also need a gate for the city, and if they only have Talmid Chachamim in the city, Talmid Chachamim will have to contribute. Lekar de pasya, but to dig a well, so you should have a source of water, but fill me rabbanon. there the Rabbanan do have to contribute. However, says the Gemara, the Loya Moran, this that we say the Rabbanan have to contribute is the Loy Nafka Bechluza, that the Talmidei Chachamim don't, that the well is not actually physically dug. They take a contractor to dig the well, and the Allah is that the Talmud Chachamim has to contribute. Aval Lechluza, but if the way the well is being dug is that the people from the city are actually going out and digging the well, Loy, the Rabbanan don't have to do that. The Rabbanan, La B'nei Mepek Chluzanu. Rabbanan are not obligated to go out and dig wells. Here we have a Machlok Rishonim. When the Gemara says that Rabbanan don't have to dig wells, what does the Gemara mean? That if the well is being physically dug by the members of the community, the Talmidei Chacham don't have to participate. It's not covered at Torah. But they would have to pay for somebody to dig on their behalf. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim explain that if it's being dug physically by the members of the town, then Talmidei Chacham are totally exempt. Amar Yehuda, says the Gemara, Lekari the Nara. You have a river flowing from upstream to downstream. And now the river gets clogged up. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yehuda, Tasoi Mesai Eloi, Eloi Le Mesai Tatoi. Which means as follows. The people who are downstream also have, if the river gets clogged up, have to help and contribute to unclog the river. Why? Because if the river gets clogged up, then they're also not going to get the water. So that's why they have to help. Tatoi Mesai Eloi. But if the blockage is lower down, so it doesn't affect the people upstream. If anything, as the Mepharshim explained, the people upstream benefit. The reason they benefit is because they don't have to share the water with the people downstream. And therefore, Eloi lemisai tatoi. However, says the Gemara, v'chiluf b'mayi d'mitra. B'mayi d'mitra is a sewer. Here, if the sewer gets backed up, so certainly the people upstream are going to be adversely affected. And therefore, even if the sewer gets backed up lower down the stream, the people on top have to participate. But if the other hand, the sewer gets backed up on top, the people downstream don't have to participate. And says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi, Chomesh Ganos Hamestapkos Mayim Mayim Echod, if there are five fields that are getting water from one stream, Mneskakel Hamayon, and now it gets clogged up, Kula Mesaknes Im Hal Yoina. All of them have to help the upper field. Nimtsis Hatachtoyim Mesaknes and Kulam. The bottom one is always going to have to participate. And it may come out on Mesaknes Latmid, and it may not have to participate, it may be stuck itself. The Cain, says the Gemara, the other halacha that we learned, there are five fields that are using one sewer system. Niskalka are bigger, and then the sewer backs up. The upper ones certainly have to participate, and the bottom ones have to participate if they're being affected. The upper one is certainly going to have to help in paying for fixing it. The bottom ones, if it's affecting them, will have to participate. If it's not affecting them, will not have to participate. Says the Gemara, Omishmul, Hayman, the Achsik, Bakas in the Nahara, if somebody seizes the area next to the river, Chatsifa Hava, he's considered a Chatsifa. So Gemara, we're going to have this terminology more than once in today's shir, that the person who does something is called a mechutzif, chatzifa. So what's the difference if he's called a chatzifa? So Mepharshim, the Paiskim say that if I call somebody a name, I call him a chatzifa, he has a right to take me to court. But if this person did this, then they call him chatzifa, he deserves that title. Chatzifa hava, however, slukim loy masalkin alo. If he did seize the property, he remains on it. However, says the Gemara, for in the kosiv parsoi, nowadays that the parsoi write kniloch ad molei tzavri susya maya, that somebody who buys an area near the water, not only does he get the entire beach area, but he even gets an area within the water that becomes his up to the height of a horse's neck. So then it belongs to somebody. It's private property. And the halacha is, slukinam sakinalei, he has to be removed. We begin now, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, a very interesting and important sugya. It's the sugya of Bar Metzra. The sugya of Bar Metzra teaches us that if I own a field and I want to sell that field, my neighbor has right of first refusal. And as the Gemara is going to teach us, the reason why is because the Torah says, Vaisiso Hayosher Vatoif, a person has to do what's right. And the right thing to do is that if my neighbor already has a field next door, so it's convenient for him that if he wants to own another field, it should be near his other existing field. Whereas somebody who's not here, who's not a neighbor here, is coming to buy a field, he has nothing to gain. He could buy a field anywhere. And that's why Vasisa Yoshva Toif. And as the Chinuch goes on to explain, the Torah uses the word Vasisa Yoshva Toif, but the Torah isn't specific in what it means when it uses those words Vasisa Yoshva Toif. It was left over to Chazal to interpret what to do with Vasisa Yoshva Toif, and Chazal interpreted that it means Dina de Bar Metzra. Machloikas Rishonim, if this din de Bar Metzra has the strength of a Doraisa, or it's only a Drabonim, what would be the Nafkamina? Pashta Nafkamina. If we have a situation where there is a question if there is a Bar Metzra situation, so if it's a Doraisa, the Aloch is Safek Doraisa L'chumra, and we have to be Machmer. If it's only a Drabonim, the rule is Safek Drabonim L'kula. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, if there are two brothers that own property, and there's a property between these two brothers, and somebody seizes that property, or there's a property between two shutfim, and somebody seizes that property, or buys the property, but he shouldn't have, chetzifa hava, he's considered a mechutzif, however, sluki lemesalkinale, we won't remove him from the property. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman's however opinion is, Nami Masalkinen. We even remove him. Why? Because here it's such a situation that nobody, as the Mefarshim explained, it's much more than just a Bar Metzra situation. And since it's much more than a regular Bar Metzra situation, I have no right to be here. However, says Rav Nachman, if I took a property which I shouldn't have because of the halacha of Bar Metzra. V'im shum dina de Bar Metzra, if it's a situation that I took a property because it's a dina Bar Metzra, lo mefakin alei. As machlokes Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi seems to learn that Rav Nachman does not subscribe to the concept of Bar Metzra. Tosfos doesn't agree. Tosfos says that certainly Rav Nachman subscribes to the concept of Bar Metzra, but the Gemara is teaching us that according to Rav Nachman, is that if somebody violated the halacha Bar Metzra, we won't take him off the property. The Dar Amri, Minador's opinion is, afil shemdina de Bar Metzra, even if it's a situation of Bar Metzra, mesakinalei. It's such a strong halacha that he should be taken off the property. Mishum shenemra, as we said a moment ago, the pasuk says, v'sisa yoshva toy be'en Hashem. Says the Gemara, asa imlechbei, somebody puts up a property for sale, and I came to the shir, and I know there's a concept of Bar Metzra. So what I do is I go to the neighbor, and I ask the neighbor, do you allow me to buy the property? And as the Rishonim explained, if I already bought the property, and the neighbor said it's okay with me, then that's not what our Gemara is talking about. If I already bought the property, and the neighbor said it's fine, that's called the Mechila, and I can hold on to the property. What happened here was that before I bought the property, I went and I consulted with the neighbor, and Amalei, Ezel Esben, may I buy the property? Do you have any problem with me buying the property? Amalei Zilzoven. He says, no, it's fine, you could go buy it. So ask the Gemara, Tzorach L'miklamenei Eloi, in order for this permission to be valid, does the neighbor have to make a kinyan with me, or his verbal okay is enough? What's the basis of the Shaila? The basis of the Shaila is, if there's a kinyan, then we know for sure that he was serious about what he said. But if there was no kinyan, we have to be concerned that what he really meant here to do, what he really meant here to do was mishata, to play with me. And therefore, even though he said it's fine with him, his statement is meaningless. So we have a machloikus. His verbal permission is adequate. Now, doya amri, tzarech l'mkunei. If he doesn't, we don't have a kinyan, he could always say he didn't mean it. And says the Gemara, the Hilchasa, the halacha is, tzarech l'mkunei. In order for me not to have a problem, we have to have a kinyan. And without a kinyan, as we're going to see now in the Gemara, he could cause real serious issues. And says the Gemara indeed, hashta the amrit, tzarech l'mkunei. Now that we've established that in order for his permission to hold, there has to be a kinyan, what would be Eloi Karminei if we didn't make the kinyan? If I bought the property and it goes up or down in value, it's not considered like it's my property. It's really considered like it's his property. As the Rishonim explained the Gemara, without permission from the neighbor, and when we use the word permission, we mean permission with a kinyan, it's to be viewed as if I'm no more than his shliach. And therefore, says the Gemara, Zovim b'meya, I bought this property for $100. V'shavim ma'asim. And really, the property is worth $200. So the question is, I'm considered his shliach, and I'm going to have to step away. The question is, how much does he give me? Does he give me $100, which is what I spent? Or do I have a right to say, you want me to step away? I'll step away. But you have to pay me the real value of the field, which is $200. Says the Gemara, the way to determine the answer is as follows. Chazina. If the person who sold the field was anxious to sell the field, and because he was anxious to sell the field, he was ready to give away a $200 field for $100. Yovelei mol v'shekelei. Then the neighbor will give me $100, and that's it. However, v'loi, if it's only because it's me, and he has a special relationship with me, and that's why he gave me a discount, that he sold me a $200 field for $100, but everybody else, he would have taken the value, yovelei mol v'shekelei. Then he has to give me $200. Ask the Rishonim. We're going to learn in the Gemara that if it's obvious that, for example, the Gemara is going to teach us soon on Amud Beis, that I got it as a gift, then there's no din of a metzra. Why is this different than a gift? Getting a $200 field for $100 should be considered like a gift because you got it for half price. Answer the Rishonim that Chazal didn't want to start making differences. And if it's a situation of a mechira, even though I got it at a very great discount, it doesn't change that it's considered a mechira, and if I bought it and I didn't have a kinyan giving me the right to buy it, I have to walk away because of bar mitzvah. What about the other way, says the Gemara? Zovim b'masan, I paid $200 for shavim meya, but the field is only worth $100. Zovim b'nei, so the b'nei yeshiva assumed, and again, with the way we're learning the Gemara, it's very gishmak. Armalei, l'tkunish dati chavloi l'afsi. I am considered a shliach of the neighbor. And a shliach is, there's always a rule with a shliach that the purpose of a shliach is to do good, not to do benefit, not to do damage. Here I did damage. I bought a $100 field for $200. So the farashim asks, so what do you want? So I bought a $100 field for $200. So what does the Gemara want? The sovamine. So the farashim explained that the Gemara and the Havamine is thinking that since I had no right to buy it, why? Because there's a rule about metzra, and I had no kinyan here. So what should happen here is that the $200 I gave should be considered a mekach tos, and I should go give back the $200 to the seller of the field, and now the neighbor should buy it, and buy it at the fair value, which is $100. Omalei makshi shebered Rav Chizdal Rav Ashi, hachi am nedor mishum de Rav Nachman, einor lekakos. We know that there's no such thing as a nolak, a cost, and there's no such thing that you overpaid by karka. And when we explained, when we learned the sugyas of Aino, some Rishonim explained, but it's a gezeris akosif. The pasuk says, yad, biyad, only something that can be transferred. Karka can't be transferred, and there's no din of Aino. Others explain that karka, by definition, always will be here. A table won't always be here. Paka will always be here. And maybe the price is not that much today, but the price of real estate could go up, and therefore, Yesha Nolaka cause. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out from this Gemara, when we learned the Sugya of Einoah, we quoted that there are certain opinions that say that even though Eina Nolaka cause, that's not when it's double the price. That far, we don't have Einoah. From here we see Eina Nolaka cause, even if you double the price, because the Gemara here says you pay $200 for a $100 field, and still the Gemara is applying the concept of Eina Nolaka cause. So we see from here that if we're going to apply the concept of Dina Bar Metzora, I could be evicted from the field, but all expenses have to be covered. So I saw a number of interesting shilas. We speak about Bar Metzora, there are many interesting shilas that come up. One shila that I saw, an interesting shila, is as follows. Somebody had an apartment, had a house for sale. We're actually going to discuss, I hope, in Mitzvah Shem and Amid Beis, if by houses and apartments there is Einoah. But assuming that there is Bar Metzora, but assuming that there is Bar Metzora by apartments, somebody had an apartment for sale, he advertised it, and somebody came and bought the apartment, not the neighbor, and then after he bought the apartment, the neighbor comes and says, you can't sell to him on the Bar Metzora. So the owner of the apartment says, yes, but I already incurred expenses in selling this apartment, a lawyer, a broker, whatever. So the halacha is, and it's based on our Gemara, he has a right to claim Bar Metzora. He has a right to get the apartment, but he's going to have to reimburse me for all the expenses that I expended. Another interesting shaila is as follows. The shaila comes up. The question comes up in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody had a very large apartment, and he didn't need such a large apartment. He already married off all his children. So he divided the apartment. Half the apartment he kept for himself. And the other half, he was going to turn into a separate apartment and sell. His neighbor, who has a very large family, says, I'm the Bar Metzora, so I want to be able to buy this apartment. So what is the halacha? And he doesn't want to sell it to that neighbor because he's concerned about the large family that's going to make noise, will be difficult neighbors. So the halacha is that the only time we say Bar Metzora is when all things are equal. Here it's not all things equal. I could find a customer that won't come with all this noise, and I don't have to sell it to my neighbor. But then I saw another interesting shaila. Terrible story. There was a couple, an elderly couple, who had an apartment, and they had neighbors on top of them who had a very, very large family, Leibniger family, who made a lot of noise all the time, and they always asked their upper neighbors if they could somehow control the children a little, because it's difficult for them. They're older individuals. The noise bothers them. And they weren't successful. And the wife of this elderly couple passed away. And the husband is convinced that his wife died because of the stress from the upstairs neighbors. And now that his wife passed away, he isn't going to remain in this apartment. So he wants to sell the apartment. So the neighbor from upstairs says, I want to buy the apartment. And I'm the Bar Metzora. I'm the closest neighbor. So this person says, you killed my wife. And that's why I have to move. Now I'm going to sell the apartment to you? What's the halacha? So the person says, you have to sell it to him. If he's willing to pay the price that the apartment you could get on the market, the halacha Bar Metzora applies. You can have your feelings. They may be legitimate. They may not be legitimate. But you have no right to complain. One more shaila. We could speak all day about shailas, but we'll say one more shaila. Interesting shaila also. Somebody owned a factory. And he wants to retire. And he wants to sell his factory. So his next door neighbor, who also owns a factory, says, I'm Bar Metzora. I want to buy the factory. But I don't need the factory to run it as a factory. I'm in a different business altogether. I want to use this building as a warehouse. It'll be perfect for me as a warehouse. But what will happen is that will cause that the factory should close down, and all the employees in that factory will now lose their job. But he has another customer. He has another customer who's not a Bar Metzora that's willing to buy the factory and keep it running, and all the workers will be able to therefore keep their job. Does the Dina Bar Metzora apply or not? So I saw the Shaila by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and Zilberstein says that the halacha is certainly very concerned about people not losing their positions, and that the halacha is that the din of bar mitzvah doesn't apply here, and he could sell the factory to somebody who will keep the business running, and the people will continue having their jobs. Says the Gemara. What happens is as follows. I own a piece of property in the middle, and there are four neighbors around the piece of property. Now I sell the middle of my property. So now the question is, what was my goal in doing this? There's no bar mitzvah here, because I'm still going to be the neighbor around the middle piece, this piece I'm selling. So now we have to try to evaluate, says the Gemara, really what was my goal here? Chazinin. If this separate parcel of land that I sold is a particularly good piece of property, or it's a particularly bad piece of property, so it's obvious that I wanted to sell it separately. It was very good because I could make a lot of money. It's very poor because I just want to get rid of it. And therefore, the sale stands. There's no bar mitzvah issue here. If I went and just separated this piece from amongst the rest of my piece of property, what was I trying to do? What I was trying to do was a haroma. I want to get this other person in here. Now he'll become bar mitzvah. So when I want to sell the property around it, he'll be able to claim that he's as much as a neighbor as anyone else. And it's obvious, therefore, that I'm just doing a haroma, and I have no right to do it. Says the Gemara further, Matana less be mishum din bar mitzvah. If I give it as a gift, if I give away my piece of property as a gift, then there's no issue about mitzvah. The neighbors have no right to complain. Why? So there are two reasons I saw in the Rishonim. One reason the Rishonim give is because the customer could say, how do we explain by mitzvah? That the neighbor could say to the customer, instead of buying this piece of property, buy another piece of property. Because that you could say by buying, but you can't say that as a gift. Just because I could get this piece as a gift doesn't mean I'm going to get another gift. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim is, if I give somebody a gift, there must be a reason I'm giving him a gift. And typically when I give somebody a gift, I want him to remember me fondly. And it's important to me, for whatever emotional reason I have, that this person should remember me. But that's only when I give it as a gift, not when it's sold. My goal here, we keep on repeating, that the only time there's a dinner by mitzvah is when all things are equal. My goal here is to be remembered fondly. My goal will not be accomplished by selling it. It will only be accomplished as a gift to this individual, and therefore, there's no problem by mitzvah. Omer, a maimer, however, ikos le'achrayis. Typically, we're going to speak about this, and we've spoken about this many times. If I sell you a piece of property, we spoke about this many times, in achrayis nechosim. What does achrayis nechosim mean? That the property becomes mortgaged. And therefore, if one of my creditors comes and takes away that field from you, I'm going to have to reimburse you. That's when I sell you something, because you paid me for it. So if you lose the field, you don't want to be left holding the bag. But if you got the field as a gift, then there's no reason to write a chrayis. You didn't lose anything. Says the Gemara, says a Maimer, if I gave you a gift and I wrote a chrayis, there's something wrong here. Why am I writing a chrayis and a gift? And therefore, it's a raya that I'm just trying to circumvent the bar mitzvah dinam. Omar meima, he kosev le'achrayis, then it's obvious ispei mishum dinam bar mitzvah. Says the Gemara, mochel kol nechosev le'echad. If I sold all my property to one individual, lespei dinam bar mitzvah. There is no dinam bar mitzvah. And here too, the mafarshim, there's a machloikas rishonim how to learn the Gemara. The simplest way of learning the Gemara is I'm trying to get rid of all my assets, all my property. And I find one customer that's willing to do that. And therefore, it makes it very convenient and comfortable for me. And therefore, there's no issue about mitzvah. But what will be the halacha if one of the neighbors says, you know what, you're trying to sell all of your property, I'll take all of your property. So I'm a neighbor, and I'm also willing to take all of the property. Most Rishonim learn, in that case, the din of Ametzru will apply. Because it, all things are equal. I could get you, I could get him. And the neighbor has first crack. Other Rishonim say no. Because the likelihood of finding one customer who's going to take all of the property, where all of it is very unlikely. So when I find such a customer, I grab the opportunity. And therefore there's no bar mitzvah, even if one of the neighbors is willing to buy all of the property. Then there's another machlokes rishonim. There is no one neighbor that is willing to take all of the property, like I found this individual. But each one of the properties that I have for sale, a neighbor of that piece of property is willing to buy it. Will the din of bar mitzvah apply? Again, it's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say we look at each property individually, and therefore since each property there's a neighbor willing to take, the din of bar mitzvah applies. Other rishonim say, I could claim it's easier to work with one customer than to work with all these various customers, and therefore the din of bar mitzvah won't apply. Let's say I bought the property from somebody, and now I'm going to sell it back to him. Says the Gemara, there is no din of bar mitzvah. What is the din? Why? Because truthfully, and this is the concept of yovel actually, taking away property from somebody is uncomfortable. So, but the person never had to sell it. But now, if he has the ability to buy it back, less than mishum dina de bar mitzvah. There is a machlokes rishonim. Let's say I bought the property from Shimon. And Shimon bought the property from Reuven. And now Reuven wants to buy it from me. So Reuven is not the person I bought it from. But Reuven is the individual who is the original owner. Will this Gemara then apply? Another interesting vart, the many Rishonim say, that not only does the Gemara's din that we just said of dinim, about metzra not applying by the original owner, it doesn't even apply by the original owner's son. And it's interesting to note that the Bnei Yisoskel says a beautiful vart. He says, the Pasuk says, V'sisa yoshev ha-toif, Pasuk we keep on quoting, and then the Pasuk says, Bonam atam la-shem l-keichem. What's the connection? He's saying the Vasisa Yoshva Toiv. There's a din of bar mitzvah, but not by the son, by the bottom of the original owner, there is no din of bar mitzvah. Zovin ba'akam. If somebody bought a piece of property from a guy, or zovin le'akam, or sold it to a guy, less by mishum din of bar mitzvah. The din of bar mitzvah doesn't apply. And the Gemara explains. Zovin le'akam. If I bought a piece of property from the guy, the omelet, I could tell the neighbor, Ari Avruch Lamimatzra, I did you a tremendous favor that I got the guy off this property. Zovin la'akum, if I sell it to a guy, akum vade laba asisva yasha taifu. A guy is not a person that has to follow the din of bar mitzvah. And from here we see, and this is a fundamental vart, that the din of bar mitzvah doesn't speak to the seller. The din of bar mitzvah speaks to the customer. And that's why here, where the customer is a guy, the din of bar mitzvah doesn't apply. However, say the Paiskim, first says the Gemara, Shmuti v'ad misham tinalei, however, a person who sells a property to the guy is put into chayrim, ad mekabel kol oinsei d'asle machmasei, that I have to take responsibility if something happens to my neighbor because I brought such a neighbor to him. However, say, now the point I wanted to make, when do I have to... First of all, they say I have to take responsibility before the guy does damage. After the guy does, if I do it later, I was only a grumma, and grumma ben zaken is potter. Ramban says that word. Another point that the Pesach can make is that this thing that I'm not allowed to sell to a guy is only in a situation where I can't get from, where I could get from a Jew the same price. But if I can't get the same price, I have a right to sell it to the guy, but the early Paiskim say already, that's only on the condition that I won't ruin the neighborhood. If I ruin the neighborhood, even though I could get a better price, I have no right. Mashkanta. If I put up a piece of property as a mashkin to a halva, less by mashkin than a mametzra, and then the malva keeps it, there is no mametzra claim. Don't have ashi, only sabah the masa machaskia, my mashkanta, the mashkuna de gabei. It's considered the property of the Malva, my nafkamina, ledina de bar mitzvah. In order that the malva has first right, because halachically it's considered already like his. Limcha berachoik, or ligo berkarev. I want to sell a property that's far in order to buy property closer to home. Dura or ligabo yofa, to sell a poor quality property to buy a good property, less bay mishum deina bar metzra. There is no issue of bar metzra because I have an opportunity, and this is a wonderful opportunity for me, and if I could do it and not start working with the neighbors. Lekargi ul mezayne ul kfura, if it's a situation where I have to pay taxes, I have to have money to support my family, I have to bury somebody in the family, and I have to have for the levaya, less by mishum dina mametzra. Damim nador, the lekargi ul mezayne ul kfura, mezavinim belayach rasta. Typically when Bez didn't sell something, they go through a bidding process. For these purposes, you don't go to bidding processes. Here too, you don't go through the bidding process. So the Mefarshim point out, we're certainly not speaking here about a situation where I have to pay the tax, where I have to make the levaya. Certainly, I can't delay. But the Gemara is teaching us is even a bigger chiddush. I already borrowed money to make the levaya, to pay the taxes. Still, because I have the pressure of paying it off, I don't have to go through bar mitzvah, just the first customer I get is good enough. Li'isha, to sell it to a woman, or li'yasmi, or li'shatfi, less may mishum dina de bar mitzvah. And the way that Rishonim explained this Gemara is as follows. A woman had, in those times, there were very few business opportunities for women. So if there's somebody really willing to sell a piece of property to a woman, she doesn't get this opportunity that often, and therefore she is not held back by Dina de Bametzra. In fact, I saw, again, I'm not advocating this, but I saw that the Paiskim wanted to suggest that you may have a way always to get out of Dina Bametzra. If you sell a piece of property to somebody, and he's not only buying it in his name, but he's also buying it in his wife's name, and our Gemara says when you sell something to a woman, there is no Dina Bametzra, so you could always have a way of avoiding the Bametzra. Says the Gemara, Shcheni Ir, the Shcheni Sodom. So there's a very big machloikus we showed him how to learn this Gemara. Rashi learns that this Gemara has nothing to do with Bar Mitzvah. I have something to sell. No neighbors. And the question is who gets first crack? That's what the Gemara is now going to discuss. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that this Gemara continues discussing the halachas of Bar Mitzvah. Shcheni Ir v'Shcheni Sodom, Shcheni Ir Koidman. You should first sell it to people who live near you, not people who have their businesses near you. Shochem v'tamut chochem, tamut chochem kaidim. Tamut chochem goes first. And the Rebbe Kivayga explains, a tamut chochem is like a woman. Since tamut chochem aren't that familiar with business, they don't have a lot of business opportunities. So you should always sell it to tamut chochem first. Others say it's because of kav v'tamut chochem. Kav v'tamut chochem, a kav and a tamut chochem kaidim. Tam Chacham goes first. Ibailu, Shachem v'Karvmai. You have a choice, a relative or a neighbor. Who goes first? Toshma, Toif Shachem Karov, Mi'ach Rachik. So I saw a beautiful verse from Noam Elimelech. Why is a neighbor better than a relative? He says, a relative, your connection to him is a Gashmiyistiga connection. Your relatives, you share the same blood. That's a physical connection. Your connection with a friend is a ruchniyistiga connection, that you bonded emotionally. And an emotional connection is more important than a physical connection. Hani zuzi tovi v'hani zuzi tkuli. We're going back to Bar Mitzvah. The customer is willing to give better money, and the other one not, less than mishum dina Bar Mitzvah. Hani tsari. This person has his money tied up in a bag. V'hani shari, less than mishum dina Bar Mitzvah. Omo, ezel v'etrich v'esi zuzi. The neighbor says, I want to buy, but you have to give me a chance to get the money. Learn it tunally. We don't have to wait, because I can lose the opportunity. Omer, Ezel, Icy, Zuzi. If the person says, I have the money, just you have to give me a chance to go to the bank and get it. Says the Gemara Chazinin. We have to evaluate the situation. E Gavra, the Omer, who, if the person is a wealthy person that certainly has the money in the bank, that he'll certainly be able to get the money and bring it, then he, the neighbor, should be waited for. But we think they're just delaying, loy natrinalei. Ari dechad or bati dechad. If one person owns property here and one person owns house here, in other words, I lease the house on this piece of property, and now I want to sell the property. So the question is, who has the bar mitzvah? The person who leased the house or the person who's my neighbor? Mari Arav Makriv. then the person who owns property next to it goes first. But Amri Bati Mari Bati Loi Ma'akif. The Ara the Ad V'dikli the Chad Mari the Ara. If you have one person owning property and another person owning the trees on the property, Mari the Ara Motz Ma'akif. The person who owns the property goes first. Mari the Ara Motzim Akiv Amari Dikli. He has priority over the person who owns the tree. Mari Dikli Loi Motz Ma'akiv Amari the Ara. The person who owns the trees on this piece of property doesn't have kedima over the person that owns the land. Ara labati v'ara lazara. The property can be used to put a house on it. It can be used for planting. Yishuv adif. It's better to sell it to the person who's going to plant it because of the issue of yishuv at Yisrael. Many Rishonim say this gemara is only in at Yisrael. V'les by mishum dina de bametzra. Ifsik mishnisa. A rick for the dikla. If between my property and my neighbor's property there's a rack or there's trees, so is the din of mametzra apply or not? Chazina. Im yochel achnus ba'afil tilam echad. If he could plow the field, it's not that much of interruption. Is by machine in the bametzra? V'loy less by machine in the bametzra. Hani dal bein mitzroni. You have four neighbors. The kad nuchad minayu. One neighbor comes first. The Zovin, Svina Zivin. He chapped. However, the killer Os Bahada Adodi, if all four neighbors want to buy it, and they all come together, Pagale Bekrinzel, it should be divided like the diagram we have on the bottom. Just a number of points, 3 points. Rabbeinu Tam, Paskins, because just like the Gemara says that if somebody has a house and somebody has property, the person who owns property next to me has Bametzra, says Rabbeinu Tam, by apartments there is no inyun of Bametzra. One apartment next to another apartment, there's no Bametzra. The Ravid disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and the Halachos like the Ravid. Another interesting question is, let's say I have a next-door neighbor. Let's say I live in a two-floor house, and I want to sell and I own one floor, and I want to sell it. Does the next-door neighbor have Kedima, or does my upstairs neighbor have Kedima? The Halach is that the upstairs neighbor has Kedima. And another point that the Tzitzliyazah many places can make, the Bametzra also applies in a shul. In seats in a shul. That let's say I have a seat in the shul, and the seat next to me was always held by somebody, and that person is not taking that seat again. The neighbor of that seat has kedima over everyone else.
What happens if the shul wants to take it?
I'm saying they don't.
They don't have a right?
I have to.